Good evening and welcome to As the Worm Turns. Yep, you're tuned into KVNF's live call-in gardening show coming to you from the North Fork, Paonia. 970-527-4868-1866 KVNF now, and I am Jill Spears, host, and joined by our favorite worms. Well, the conversation was going south, so I'm glad we're back on track here. It's Lance and Lulu. Good evening.
Good evening.
How are you? That wasn't south. It was just different for a minute. Well, right. It all started with the squirrels mating on 2nd Street.
In broad daylight.
In broad daylight.
Mm-hmm. And remedies for bright-eyed and bushy-tailed.
Not your basic Colorado black-tailed squirrel that you find up on the ski area, and they drop the little parts of the pine cones all over the place, and the kids are thrilled. No, these were the broad-tailed squirrels.
Okay.
Yeah.
The big guys.
Yeah, just to clarify.
Yeah.
Chitter-chatter.
Oh, and
squirrels.
They do.
So they make
cool
a lot of noise.
Hear them. Yeah, and they go, mm-hmm. And there they are.
I like watching them, uh-huh. For sure. And a lot of nuts around, a lot of berries, gathering berries. And
it's definitely a lot of nuts around.
A lot of nuts coming out of the woodwork today. Nibbling on your lettuce, Lance, and what's your remedy for that?
Yeah, since I put my live traps away, I put cayenne pepper on it. If you want to stop any rodent from eating anything in your garden, it will work.
Cayenne pepper.
You know, that's so bona fide because it works on ants. It works on everything. It would probably even work on grasshoppers.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, speaking of grasshoppers, I found this huge grasshopper and I tried to feed it to this huge, you know, those cat face spiders?
Uh-huh.
The ones that have the big, my kids used to call them crabapple spiders. I don't know why they called them that, but they specifically make these huge nests and they try to feed on grasshoppers. So mm-hmm. I tried to feed the grasshopper to the spider. So the spider wasn't interested. I fed it to the chickens. They were happy.
Yes.
Chicken fed it to the...
I don't know why she swallowed the fly.
Right. But everybody was happy.
Everybody. Right. Better give the numbers.
Yeah.
Save us from ourselves.
970-527-4868, 866 KVNF now, and email worm@kvnf.org. And that is what Jeannie on Redlands Mesa did. And she's got two photos here, one of some pretty nice looking, well, I would call them caterpillars.
Caterpillars.
Yeah, but they're so cute.
Yellow.
They really are.
Nice blue stripe on it.
Yeah.
And
is
then
that blue
some
or black?
Blue and black. Like
blue. And yellow.
Accented.
They're really quite beautiful.
And then these are all on grape leaves.
Yeah.
And then it looks like eggs and or you guys are just saying those are...
Maybe the...
Larva.
Just hatching.
Getting ready to munch away. Yeah. And I'm going, wait, one... But they look different because one is really small and the other one's larger. But basically, it doesn't matter. It's larva. They're getting ready to eat.
They're getting ready to the grape sawfly.
Yeah.
Grape sawfly.
And if you get a bad infestation, you just start cutting off leaves.
And feeding and them to your chickens. The chickens love that.
And they're only on the underside of leaves. They're not crawling. That's where the eggs get laid. They're not crawling anywhere. So they're actually pretty easy. I had just a few this year. I've had other years where I cut off a lot of leaves.
All right, so
at
just
first,
go for it. And at this time of the
matter.
Year.
It mm-hmm. just doesn't matter. The, yeah. You know, just be brutal. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I just harvested my Concords. I have boxes and boxes and boxes, and they're gorgeous.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
nice.
Yeah,
and you're going to juice those?
Yeah, mm-hmm. juice them. I steam them and juice them. It's so easy, except it's not for me because I always spill everything all over. But, no, it's a truth, right?
That's
so I spilled it yesterday, last night. I was all so happy because I had it all together, and then I spilled it, and it went in the spice jar. No, the spice drawer. It went in the drawer. It got grape juice every so he had to take them all out. Whatever.
My whole nother project.
Yeah, whole nother project, but it was minor. And in the meantime, you get all this fabulous juice.
Uh-huh.
So who cares?
That's what makes it fun.
Yeah, it does.
Good memories.
Yeah, you just have to laugh. Just don't take it seriously. Just laugh.
Right?
Laugh it off and go on.
Something's always going to happen. Yeah. You don't want to get yourself in trouble.
Right? It's like, that's the thing. It's like with the caterpillars and the larvae. Just go, oh, there they are. Okay. Why? Get rid of them.
Get rid of them.
Feed them to the chickens, whatever.
Right. And Lance, you mentioned that squash bugs are on the rebound.
Yes.
Big time.
I found eggs and adults at my place. I was at a friend's house, and it was the zucchini leaves were covered, and adults and juveniles.
Wait, the leaves were covered with adults and juveniles?
Yeah, there's so many.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
You know what you do? You get out the vacuum.
There you go.
Yeah. No, I swear to God.
You just vacuum them up.
If you have one of those little Mighty Mite vacuums, that's special, but if you have to, haul your big garden, your big vacuum haul it out there and get them. Because if you get rid of the populations now, you'll have fewer next year.
Yeah.
Simple.
They should make a squash bug attachment. Specific.
Yeah.
You could get the insect belt, you know, with four different.
Yeah, you know, you got the long, skinny one for getting into cracks, and you got the flat one for doing the upholstery. Yeah.
Upholstery, the one for the box elders.
Right. Yes, absolutely.
I won't make that mistake again. Those screens are staying on the windows until
forever.
The snow flies. Yeah,
they are the thousands back and around.
Box elders, that was good fun, though.
Oh, no. All right.
Save us from ourselves. 527-4868.
866-KVNF now. Lance is going to get on the computer and check the email.
Oh, he is?
At KVNF.org. Just learning how to do that, and he loves it.
He does.
But some fall crop stuff that's going on. Your cabbage this year just has been slow, and actually you're...
I'm probably not going to get any cabbage hits.
Wow.
What?
Yeah.
I've seen your cabbage before. It's like Alice in Wonderland. So, yeah, but I mean, this
year, I think it was that spell of really hot weather.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
It likes it cold.
Well, cooler, you know.
You know, that's the truth. Because... up there at the orphanage farm, they gave a cauliflower head to Sam. And sure enough, I looked at it and went, what? Where's the head? And that's what happens.
Same
it gets
thing.
Too hot.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And everything just bolts. It's the same old story.
Yeah.
You know?
So anyways, that's what's happening. You know, and I do manure compost tea every 2 weeks, and they're just sort of sitting there.
Oh, so.
You know, but the daikons and the beets and the kohlrabi and spinach and lettuce, all that kind of stuff's doing fine.
Thriving. Okay, right. So that exactly speaks to you. The more variety you have, it's the biodiversity that counts.
Yeah, I'm not going to starve. Let's put it that way.
No. Right, right. No. You are not going to starve.
No.
And neither are your friends.
No. Yeah, no, that's the thing.
Wonderful.
It's the biodiversity. And this whole thing with, did you guys hear Greta and the speech she gave?
Yes, young lady.
Yeah, from
the UN.
Sweden, the UN. And so that's the whole thing, you guys. Biodiversity, if we're going to make it through, we have to take chances. We have to do different things. We have to be diverse.
Right.
We have to get that biodiversity just in one aspect, just to support the species that rely on all of those things. Because like she said, we're in the middle of this massive die-off.
Right.
So get out there and plant whatever you want.
Right.
Just
try something.
It doesn't matter. Just try it and just do it because it's crunch time.
Yep. And Lance, you brought in some treats today. Thank you for sharing.
Yep.
These raspberries are just so juicy and lovely. And your first
picking of the snap peas.
The snap peas. Wow, they're delicious. Super juicy.
Yeah, so you plant those in mid-July, and hopefully they make it through the heat. And these didn't like it. But
now,
you know
wait.
What?
Is that because they go...
Oh, yeah. Can you hear that?
No.
Something dripping down your chin.
I had
They didn't like the heat and they didn't germinate well. But what's a week or so later, I planted the snow peas, and the snow peas are doing really good.
Yeah.
They have good germination, and they're nice. About 16, 18, and just starting to bloom.
Excellent.
The and you have. See, I love snow peas. And I didn't plant any this year because I was so late. And now my garden is so overgrown, there's no room for anything.
Yeah, well, you're going with that experiment this fall, kind of letting now that one's really juicy.
Right.
Kind of letting things go and not, you know, just not sweating it too much, right?
No, and that's a thing, too. And that's the rest of the story. Don't sweat it, like I'm saying. Just go out there and do something. It doesn't matter. 1,000 square feet of green grass will provide enough oxygen for a family of four.
Wow.
So well, every nice time you see that perfectly manicured lawn, and you're like me and you're thinking, oh, my God, what have they done to deserve that? You go, hey, it's okay. We're getting a little oxygen.
Uh-huh. There you go.
Yeah. So just do it. Whatever it is, just do it. Doesn't matter anymore. Just go for it.
Yep. We're all in this together.
We're all in it together. Sink or swim.
Right.
Call us. Save us from ourselves.
Yeah, it's 527-4868-866-KBNF now, and it's Dandy Doug with Garden Report.
Oh, good.
Line number one.
Doug. I've got a positive report.
All right, let us have it.
Make me commit suicide again. Lots of stuff is just really rocking. All the squash are finishing. And our water just kind of got shut down a little bit, but there's some tailwater that we're able to throw on the strawberries and asparagus and garlic and different things that are ready to be planted. Corn is just off the hook; it's finishing. I picked up, or Willie picked a ear today that was 18 and a half inches long.
Wow.
And that was that blue flower corn that Leah got from Lance. So there's some really nice corn out here.
The blue flower corn, like blue flower corn tortillas.
Yeah.
Or chips or whatever.
Yeah. But that particular variety is not a Hopi.
Oh.
It's just a very tall, because Hopi corns only get 4 feet tall. 4 or 5 feet tall, whereas
that was our first corn, or we called Anasazi. Hope he might catch it. It's called a whole bunch of things. That was the Willy corn that we've got some just tremendous beautiful ears off of that, and it was short and had some earworms and mold going through it. But 90% of it's been picked. The last bigger ears are still standing, and as the husk dry, we pick that. But under all the corn, we've got a cover crop. Peas and rye is about 4 to 6 inches. Uh-huh. So we're still dumping a little water through that just to, you know, kind of keep that softened. But all the corn trash was chopped up and just kind of thrown in on top. And now the peas are coming up back through. Huh.
Nice.
If nothing else, it's going to be good dirt.
Yeah.
I mean, it all keeps the moisture, you know, kind of the philosophy of banking it so Las Vegas don't get it. and Tucson and Phoenix and Los Angeles, all those.
Yeah. Hey, all those people got to flush day toilets, too.
Well,
we are
the
all
Navajo or
just throwing it out.
Poor Navajo or happen to sell them coal. So it's kind of a vicious circle. Grow hemp and burn it in your cars. You know, Ford figured that out about 90 years ago.
All right.
Have a good night, y'all.
All right. Okay. Thanks, Doug.
Thanks for the report.
Glad to hear him checking in.
Yeah.
And what's going on there. Lots going on there, always.
Yeah, it's crazy. Okay, so they're all on the Minnesota ditch, and that ditch company has shut their ditches down. But there's still water running around. And the because the ditches are all off and everybody's stopped using, the German Creek is way up.
I mean, right. So they're
so
in
they
a
can
nice yeah. position there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, they can't use the German Creek water. I don't have rights to it. But
it is keeping the area there.
Yes, but it's there, and it's moist, and it's humid, and et cetera.
Yeah.
All right.
Supporting life.
I like it.
Just add water.
There you go. Boy, it's amazing. Mm-hmm. Here's a picture from Jeannie. You know, maybe Jeff will put this up on the KVNF.org website for us. But Jeannie,
that's so cool.
Our listener who was just calling about or emailed about the grapes. Oh. Here's an 11-pound cabbage.
What? Late flat Dutch. Beautiful.
Right? Just add water. 11 pounds. So that what's that? The size of a basketball? Or
at least. It's bigger than a basketball.
But they're flat. They're not round.
Oh, interesting.
Well, the earth
that's
is
beautiful.
Flat.
Yeah.
Right. Just add water.
Are we full of it today?
Yeah. Well,
you started it, Lance.
You started it. I might have started it with the squirrels breeding on Second Street.
Oh, yeah. You started it.
I did. I saw it with my own two eyes.
Yeah.
Right.
It was so cute.
And critter-wise, you put your live traps away, Lance, and so that's why you're using the cayenne pepper.
Yep.
And what about your popcorn?
The popcorn? Yeah. I got some friends came over and helped me clean and thresh and clean the kamut, and then we went and harvested the popcorn. We got about 2 wheelbarrows full. A popcorn, and as I take the husks off, because I'm sorting through it for the ones I want to save for seed, and almost every ear has corn ear worm damage.
Oh,
that's
really?
That's interesting. I wonder.
And I've never had that.
The cause of that or why that's so common,
it's a moth.
Maybe?
Oh,
moth. It's a moth, and it comes, and you can delay it or defray it. With Basilicus thuringiensis.
Yeah, but I've never had a problem. So
right, so why would you be
5 years and 700 plants?
Give me a break.
Interesting.
Yeah. That's a lot of tea.
Yeah.
But that's what's been genetically engineered into the corn now.
Is Bacillus thuricide.
Yeah.
Oh, that's what we're talking about.
BT. And so it's a hazard because that's what's killing the monarch butterflies because they... I don't know. Somehow they get on the corn that's been in the milkweed. They get in the milkweed.
The pollen from the GMO corn
gets
on the
milkweed,
which
and
is
kills the larvae of the butterflies.
Bacillus thuricide is a bacteria. Is it a bacteria?
BT.
And it attacks leaf-eating caterpillars. Mm-hmm. That's its only thing, and. People will put it on their cabbage or their tomatoes or, you know, that kind of stuff. But when you...
Your raspberries.
Yeah.
If you've got that raspberry laceworm,
The
BT will knock it out. Yeah.
Okay, but then when you got the corn belt, and was that millions of acres of GMO?
Thousands and thousands of acres.
You know, that pollen is going in off into the...
into the ditches where the milkweed grows, and then the monarchs come along and they... lay their eggs and feed specifically on the milkweed, and they get in the BT, and it's game over.
Yeah.
There you go.
So don't support the, GMO stuff. Always check things.
Always check. Always check for your GMO because it's a big deal.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you for that. And 970-527-4868-866-KVNF now. You're done with compost, Lance.
Mm-hmm.
Done with making compost. You're still putting compost tea on.
Yeah. I'll do that one more time. And I'll just pile everything up. And
you want some chicken poop?
No.
I have pure chicken poop.
Yeah.
5-gallon bucket full.
Pure chicken poop.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, you were talking you might put manure in
there. What I'm going to do at some point is go down and get the horse manure that's just down by Lazier that I get. And I get a whole truckload. I'm going to take that place where I store all my carbon stuff and just take it apart and layer the manure in there and put some more stuff on top and might do that.
That's the key.
Yeah.
That's the key is to break down the carbon with the manure.
Mm-hmm.
And because the carbon sucks the nitrogen out, so you need the manure.
So this,
and then all of a sudden you've got this great, fabulous dirt.
Yeah,
that's really
and the other thing is I take all of my gray water from the sink the kitchen sink, and that goes on the that pile. So it gets watered all winter long.
Right.
Perfect.
Yeah.
You know, the watering, I wish I had water all winter.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing. Yeah, I realize that more and more, especially after this year, where we had such an outstanding amount of snowfall,
mm-hmm.
and it got so deep into the soil. I mean, that's why everything is so flush this year.
Yeah, yeah. Amazing. Mm-hmm. Hey, here is an email from Deborah who says, what is the order of the layers for good amendment for overwintering? And she's talking about just putting the garden to bed for the winter.
And just
whatever you've got.
Yeah. I mean, there is a thing, if you're going to do that right on the ground, you sort of lightly till or rake that ground. And the reason you're doing that is so that bacteria can get up into the organic matter. And then you would layer leaves, hay, straw, whatever you have, your kitchen waste that you've stored the entire season. And then you might put an inch or so of manure on that.
Right.
You know, and do that a couple times.
And if you want to, get scientific and you want to do a worm farm kind of thing, you probably want red wigglies or brown wigglies.
Uh-huh.
The brown wigglies, I understand, are native to Colorado.
I don't know.
I don't either. That's what somebody told me. So you put your worms in there, and then you put on a layer of, well, I don't know, whatever you've got. And that manure is good,
uh-huh.
and alfalfa is good, because mm-hmm. they'll eat through the alfalfa to get to the manure, or they'll eat through the manure
wow.
to get to the alfalfa. Either way,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
you want that worm interaction.
Yeah,
so if you want to get that technical, you can do that.
Yeah, we're forgetting in. One main thing. Water it once
oh,
you're
and
done.
Then water.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Just
layer it up
water.
And water it.
Yeah,
because just add water.
Yeah, unless it rains or something really well. But who says that's
yeah,
going to happen?
Yeah, who knows? Right. And then there's that. Yeah. Yeah. And that's, you know, or snows or whatever. Mm-hmm. I mean, just.
Anything could happen.
Anything.
You don't want
happen.
It too thick.
Yeah.
For the simple reason is that the ground will never dry out enough to plant in the spring.
Okay.
Yeah. I've seen people do that with spaghetti mulching or that kind of stuff.
Oh,
and
wait,
it was
yeah,
so
the
thick.
Layer mulching,
it was
right?
so thick yeah. that he couldn't even plant until late June.
Oh my goodness, that is
yeah.
Very
so
nice
yeah,
keep
so
it
just a few inches.
Few inches, okay.
Yeah.
And then you can always till. But then if you have the worms in there, then the worms come to the surface when it gets warm because
mm-hmm.
they want to be in the heat like anybody else. Oh, it's tricky. But you know what?
I love the
just
worm
go.
Action. That's
yeah.
just fun
just
to
just go for it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the worm action is really good.
You can't go wrong with that.
Yeah. The other thing you do in the fall, a spring, after you're getting ready to work in the garden, you can rake all that stuff up that hasn't
oh, yeah.
broken down.
Mm-hmm.
Put
yes.
it in the compost pile.
Yeah, and
yeah,
put it in
right.
the compost pile.
And you're going to have all those worms in there.
Yeah.
And you can even mulch with it after you've planted.
Right.
Yeah, you know, and it'll be semi broken down.
Right.
Yeah.
Nice
so,
stuff.
So
right.
if you're willing to take these few extra steps, you can get tremendous results.
Okay.
Yeah, just
good
meditate
advice.
On what you're doing out there. You know, what you're basically trying to do is support breakdown and life. So, it, you know, just can't be too dry, can't be too wet, can't have too much of this or too little.
Yeah.
Just
balance.
Figure it out.
Balance.
Figure out the balance, and
mm-hmm.
it's going to be different for everybody.
Yep, everybody has different soils and
yep.
different methods of how they do their work.
Yeah,
and
mm-hmm.
You know, and I even in my compost, I actually use a little bit of wood ashes. Not much because they are alkaline, but I do
mm-hmm.
put wood ashes because they have some great minerals in them.
Yeah. I'm going to have all my wood ashes stored in a metal garbage can this
uh-huh.
year, I think. Because they went around in some places and nothing grew at all.
Yeah.
So you're just going to use it,
store
it. Sprinkle
yeah.
as...
Store
I
it
use it for
uh-huh.
the my main thing, if I use it in the garden, is flea beetles, repelling flea beetles.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, right? Uh-oh.
Thank you.
We
all
just
right.
got a special
fresh,
delivery.
Hot,
woo,
right?
Woo, woo.
Good deal. Okay, from
Tara's going to be doing one woman's perspective
coming up next
she
in about 5 minutes.
She just delivered in a note, so here it is.
Always thinking about her garden out there. Her and Sam and Tara says suggest
Tara.
Varieties of raspberries to plant and when. That's question number one.
Mm-hmm.
Question number two, what's happening with onions? So however you want to answer that.
Oh, well, yeah, I don't know that many varieties of raspberries.
I don't either.
I know that I have what's called Autumn Bliss, and it's a prima cane, and which means that you cut it to the ground in the fall after it's done producing, and it comes up in the spring sometime and starts blooming, say, mid to late July, and it's still blooming and bearing, as you can tell.
Right.
And
it's
then
delicious.
there's another one called Heritage that people really, really like. And
this is the prima cane right here?
Yeah. And Heritage is a real nice one.
This one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm chowing on it.
Easy because there's no trellising, no special pruning. You just cut them to the ground.
Nice.
Right? And that's huge. No,
mm-hmm. Yeah. So
because so many of them, you know, they only bear on the second year growth, so you can't cut them all the way to the ground.
Yeah, yeah. There's the other kind. There's two prunings per year. This is one.
This is one.
And you have to know what you're doing with the other ones.
Yes,
you,
exactly.
Okay, so these are just like plant them and go and eat.
I would suggest not planting the golden ones. They're so hybrided they don't do well here. There might be some places that they've done well in the garden. Mm-hmm. I have yet to see them.
In general here.
Yeah. And then you plant in the spring.
Okay, plant your raspberries in the spring.
And somebody mentioned that the shoots need to be at least pencil thickness or bigger. If they're any smaller, they don't have enough oomph to push a bud.
Oh, to make it. So you mean if you're buying them?
No, if you're digging them up from somebody's yard.
Oh, okay.
If you're buying them, that's something totally different. But if you know this person has these prima canes or that Heritage, make sure that the shoots that are there are over a quarter an inch.
Okay.
Okay, so say it. Prima.
Prima cane.
P-R-I-M-A. Prima.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's prima, like first.
Mm-hmm.
Cane.
Okay, good. McCain. Just to clarify.
Yeah.
All right, good.
What was the other question?
What's happening with onions?
Well, most onions, from what I've been, first of all, what I've been talking to friends around the area, extremely good crop.
Oh, nice.
I have one friend that they got well over softball size. My crop, was the best crop that I've had sizing up wise.
Really?
Yeah. They're not huge. You know, a little bit bigger than baseball,
but
perfect for one person.
Yeah.
You know, so they actually should be out of the ground. If you haven't got them out of the ground by now, they're starting to grow new roots.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which brings us around to the garlic and all of that, which will be to be continued.
Yeah.
Because that's going to come around too.
In a month. Garlic time is in a month.
Mm-hmm. Right. And you're prepping your beds for that now?
I am. There's one bed that doesn't have any cover crop in it, so I'm going to dig the grass out of that one, start digging the grass out of that one. The other one has a cover crop, and so I'm going to let that go for a little bit. And it's that field pea.
Oh, right.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other one still has amaranth in it.
Beautiful. I bet that's looking good.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah. So one is definitely...
When you do the amaranth, then it goes to seed. Do you have a problem with that, or do you not let it go to seed?
Well, it's for grain. It's for amaranth.
So you're going to pull it all the way up and not
At a certain point.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, and I have had amaranth from time to time over the years volunteer. And boy, if you give amaranth, you know, like two feet room, they got stalks on them. Those couple of volunteers at 1 year, I just left them because they were side of the bed. And they had 3-inch stalks wide, and they got about 6 or 7 feet tall.
Oh, my goodness.
They were the most beautiful things. Now, these... didn't get thin quite enough, so they're only about 3.5 to 4.
Wow.
But they're indeterminate, which means they just keep on blooming.
They just keep going.
Oh, God, yeah. They're so beautiful.
So I can either stop watering it or frost will take care of it.
Yeah. Either one.
Either one works. And that other thing, if
like
those.
That.
The other That's thing that happens is
easy.
The birds start eating it.
Okay. Right, for sure.
Birds on my lamb's quarter. They have been having a field day.
Uh-huh.
So finally I cut it all down because it was in this place where I went, oh, my God, if it seeds itself here, I'm going to be dealing with it forever. And then I let it seed in another place, and it's extraordinary.
Lamb's quarter seed is actually very good to eat.
The seed itself.
The dried seed, and
well,
I've had.
Birds certainly think so.
Yeah, it's, and the Native Americans ate a lot of it.
Oh, good to know.
And they mixed it with their cornmeal.
All right.
Yeah, in different ways. I've never done it. I've just heard about it. But lamb's quarter is a very good, nutritious seed.
Well, like I said, the birds certainly think
they know.
So.
Yeah.
And they must know.
The birds know. That's right. The birds, the beasts, and the children. Bless them all. All right. Well, that's going to wrap it up for us this Tuesday on As the Worm Turns. It is Tara coming up with One Woman's Perspective.
Is next Tuesday fundraiser?
It is fundraiser.
Oh,
so
all you guys, get your piggy banks out.
Yeah, get your piggy banks out and tune in for a fun time as we go on pledge drive next week at KVNF. And always a good time with that.
It is a good time.
Absolutely.
And you just don't need to do a lot. Just throw something at us. We're happy.
Yep. All right. Lots of fun. So tune in next week. And thanks for listening to As the Worm Turns on KVNF.
All right. Have a good evening.
Good night, everybody.
With taillight neon, you've got a cute first pocket master, which you can make both slow and faster. I don't know who you took a shine to or who you're about to make a sign to. I got a gal that I love so. Low, little low, and low.